Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. Our telephone lines are open. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible and or current events in light of God's Word. A lot going on in the world. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air once more this evening. We thank you for another year that we've been able to be on the air with the program. We just pray that we could be a blessing, that we could be an encouragement to somebody tonight and be able to point people to Christ. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is actually our sixth anniversary on the air tonight. And 6 years ago, we started this program, and it's been an enjoyable time. I've enjoyed doing it. We've been live. We're looking back at things. We've actually managed to be live on the air every Sunday night for these last 6 years, and no pre-recorded programming, and no guest hosts. I've actually sat here in the chair every Sunday night for the last 6 years, so I guess that must amount to something, but whatever it is, it means we have a sixth anniversary, and glad to be able to be on. Hope it's a blessing to you, and we're glad that during this past year, we've been able to do a few things. We've experimented with some things with the program, expanding, we've wound up with a Friday night program now, Friday afternoon program, live with Pastor Al on Friday afternoons at 1:30 till 2 o'clock. It's only a half an hour, and it's been kind of nice to do that. We've been doing that since, I believe, the end of May, beginning of June, and that's been kind of exciting to have that reaching out during the afternoon time frame. But for the last 6 years, it's been here on Sunday nights, all except for the first 3 months, I believe it was. The very first 3 months, we were actually on at midnight until 1 in the morning, and that lasted for a couple of months. We had actually wanted this hour, and just a little scheduling conflict, but that worked itself out, and we moved into the 11 o'clock hour and been there ever since. So it's exciting. Hope it's a blessing, and hope the program tonight's a blessing to you as well. Give you basically the format of the program again, and sometimes we get new people, and it's good to touch base, and an anniversary program, I guess, is a good time to touch base on how and why and how we came to be. And basically what happened was at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, we had started a program called Reformers Unanimous. And Reformers Unanimous is a tremendous program for people struggling with addictions. And if you're looking for a program, if you know somebody that's struggling with addictions, alcohol, drugs, overeating, whatever it might be, Reformers Unanimous, you can find them online, reformu.com. That's reformu.com, or just do a Google search for Reformers Unanimous. And they operate in independent Baptist churches throughout the United States in various places. I think there's a number of them in Canada and a few other countries right now. But we endeavored to get a Reformers Unanimous program off the ground in Richfield, and we spent about a year with it. And Reformers Unanimous meets every Friday night at 7 o'clock, wherever they are. Friday night, 7 o'clock is when they start. And being a small church, we thought that it'd be a stretch for us to try and do it, but it'd be a commitment. And we also thought that, you know, however small we are, if God wants us to do it, we should do it. And so we committed to a year, and during the course of that year, we began meeting every Friday night. And as we met every Friday night, oftentimes we didn't really have anybody, and we encountered some, I actually encountered some opposition in our area from some other groups. And so after about a year, we realized that the door was kind of closing on Reformers Unanimous for us in Richfield. Thankfully, there's some in some surrounding areas, and Broadview Heights, I believe, Cleveland certainly, and some other places. But we continued on our Friday night meetings, which actually turned into a two-hour Bible study. And the two-hour Bible study was actually a format where instead of me bringing a lesson or coming in with a set series of things to discuss, what we did was we just opened it up to whoever was there that if you had a question about the Bible or current events, we would discuss it and what the Bible had to say about current events. And we continued that for a number of years, and we had a lot of good positive feedback. In fact, we did much better with our Friday night Bible study than we ever did with the Reformers program. And so we continued. And a few years later, God opened up a door for us to get on the radio here on AM 1220, The Word. And, well, 6 years later, or 6 years ago, we were able to start our first program. And we decided that rather than supply a pre-recorded program, we wanted to do a live program. That's why it's called Late Night Live. And, of course, it's late at night. That's the other part of that real original title. And I'm Pastor Al, so it's with Pastor Al. That was our our great grand thought in the title of the program. But we decided that rather than do a pre-recorded program and or get on the air and just simply do a Bible study or preach a message on the air, we thought doing something like what we did at our Friday night Bible study would be a good thing. Now, in the past, as a missionary on deputation, my wife and I, we traveled extensively, a lot of times at night, and this is years ago, back in the 90s, and the radio at the time didn't have as much talk radio available, and we would always look for talk programs because it kind of keeps your attention and keeps you going at night when you're driving as opposed to music. And so we thought late night talk, that's what we ought to do. I can remember distinctly one time struggling to stay awake, tuning in, and this guy is like, "Welcome to whatever the name of the program was, music to help you go to sleep." And I thought, I'm driving down the road and my eyes are getting closer, closed, and I'm trying to stay on the road. So we thought late night live talk would be a good thing. And so we went with the Friday night Bible study program, or format, with questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we just take the questions as they come and do our best to take a look in the Bible and see what we can find to help answer those questions or help make light of what's happening in the world around us. And so you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and you can get on Late Night Live with Pastor Al at 888-677-9673, and that's toll-free. And we'd love to have you on with us tonight and just get into your questions. Of course, one of the things that when we first started this program, I was actually before when we were first thinking about it and praying about it, I remember asking somebody what he thought about it, and he was kind of cool to the idea. He didn't seem to be real enthused, and one of his things was, he said, "Oh, if you're in a live program, what if nobody calls?" I said, "Well, then I'll have to talk. If nobody calls, I'll have to talk." And so we usually try to keep a stack of papers with some things happening in the world around us and maybe some things we've talked about in church and address some of those things. And then another opposition was, "What if you don't know the answer?" And I said, "Well, I guess I'll have to make something up. No, not make something up. We'll try and see what we can find out. We'll look at the Bible. If I don't know the answer, then to say, well, maybe I can look into this a little bit more and find out a little bit more about it. But 6 years later, we've been following it. Occasionally, we have a guest on. We have guests every once in a while. Talked about a variety of subjects, and we literally cover about every subject under the sun here, it seems like, on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've talked about everything about whether or not there's life on other planets. We've talked about where the devil came from. We have talked about prophecy in the Bible and events in the last days. We've talked about politics. We've talked about capital punishment. We've talked about the origins of Christmas and Easter holiday traditions. We've talked about science in the Bible. We've talked about historical things. And we cover just about anything and enjoy doing it. It keeps me on my toes. And people say, well, how do you prepare? You know, if we had a set topic that we were going to discuss, I could spend all week working on that topic. But we usually don't. I mean, it's a lot of it is just a matter of praying and reading the Bible a lot and staying up with the current events and things of that nature in order to be able to at least have an idea of some of the things that's going on. And, of course, it helps coming from kind of an eclectic background. In addition to being a news junkie, I've had the opportunity to attend Colorado State University and graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Wildlife Biology with a minor in Botany. So that gets me pretty well covered in some of the scientific and biological sides of things with some of the arguments dealing with capital punishment, evolution, creation, intelligent design, life on other planets, things of that nature. And then, of course, I spent a few years in the United States Air Force and had the good fortune to be stationed at a base where I had opportunity to learn all kinds of neat things, and some of which can help me gain a little perspective on world affairs. And other than that, yeah, it's a lot of prayer, a lot of Bible reading, and a lot of trusting God to help out and guide us as we get on the program and deal with calls. But, of course, you're listening Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. We have Rick in Cleveland on the line, I believe. And, Rick, are you there?
Yeah.
Hello, good evening.
Yes,
welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I was talking with some friends at church. We were studying 1 Corinthians 10,
mm-hmm.
and I was wondering if you can expound on that.
Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
The times of Israel and how they had fallen was designed by God for us so that we saw how they fell. Is this correct?
Okay, let me get caught up with you here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and you're asking about Israel and...
Yeah, the life and times of Israel, how they had fallen and stuff. But I was saying that that was designed on purpose for us so that we could, be strong in the Lord to see how they had fallen, you know.
Israel...
Stay away from sin and stuff like that.
Israel is certainly an example to us. I don't think it was God's intent that they would fall, but God in his sovereignty knew that they would. God is outside of time. He can see all of human history. And certainly what was recorded about Israel in the scriptures, you know, we can see some general traits and principles that we can learn from. We can use them for our example. And, these things are written, you know, that we can learn from them. And, for instance, when Israel was close to God, we know that they tended to get comfortable and they tended to forget about God and they tended to turn their back on God. And so God wrote these things for our admonition so that we would learn from that, not to, you know, take God for granted. And then, of course, when they turned their back on God, we find that God raised up enemies against Israel, and the purpose of the enemies was not to destroy Israel, but to turn them back to God. and hopefully that would get their attention and they would, repent, turn to God, and hopefully, you know, they would get straightened out. And
yeah, because that's what 1 Corinthians 10 is about. That's not what it says.
Yeah, we can see some of the examples of here, and let's see if I can find. I'm looking for a particular verse here, because we see the examples even in the beginning of that. They were talking about how they let's see here in verse number 8. Neither let us commit fornication. This is 1 Corinthians 10, and verse number 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,020. Thousand, and there was a number of them that were killed because of their sin. And again, he talks about that. Verse 11, he says, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." And so that's why he says they're written. You know, Israel's faults as well as things that they were to be commended for. All of that was there for the purpose of educating so that we can learn from them, like you said. But at the same time, I don't think God wanted them to do that. I don't think God decreed that they would fall into sin. But though they did, he used that to give us examples today so that, that word ensamples there in the King James Version of the Bible, it's ensamples with E-N, not examples. The word specifically has to do with patterns or models. So their pattern, their model of behavior ought to admonish us so that we would learn that when God's blessing, we don't take him for granted and have to allow God to chasten us so that, we'll turn back to him like it had to happen in Israel.
Okay. But, that's all I'm saying. Yeah, because that's just of how, when I was reading it, that's kind of what I had gathered.
Right.
I just wanted to make sure that, we pretty much agreed that's what it was saying, but I just wanted to get your input on it. It kind of struck a pretty interesting conversation in that.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, we've been at our church, Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we've been going through the lives of the kings. We've been studying 1st and 2nd Kings on our Sunday night service, and that's one of the things that I try to mention when we're going through these various kings is we see kings that, that there are some godly kings in the southern kingdom of Judah and after, the kingdom split after Solomon. And then in the northern kingdom, you see wicked kings the whole way through. But in the southern kingdom, every once in a while there's a wicked king followed by a godly king or a godly king followed by a wicked king. And you can see how God dealt with Israel and Judah on the basis of how they dealt with God and how they responded to God's prophets that he sent to them to try and reach them, to try and turn their behavior around and to try and bring them back to him. And of course, ultimately, Israel went into captivity into Babylon as a result of their disobedience. And we can see today as Christians, we're going to lose blessings, and oftentimes the hand of God working in our life, we'll turn to a hand of chastisement. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about that, and we can learn from the history of Israel and take admonition from that so that we don't make some of the same mistakes. But hopefully that helps out there, Rick, and I appreciate that call.
Yeah, it was right on the same train of thought.
All right. Well, great. Appreciate
Thanks.
That call. All right. Well, thank you very much. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. And we have Frank in Cleveland. And, Frank, you're on. Hello, Frank. Are you there? Well, we'll come up to Frank here in just a minute. But
can you hear me?
There you are, Frank. I can hear you now.
Okay.
Hey,
how
you doing? Good.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, to shed some light on people who are Christians, and then they'll, in this November or in the elections, will call themselves Christians, and they'll vote for people who are for same-sex marriages and abortion and all these sorts of things that God detests. I'm just wondering if just shed a little bit of light on that, what God says about that, and what are we to do, honor God's law before man's law? You know, you can shed some light on that, and I can just wait and hear what you say, okay?
All right, no, I appreciate that, Frank.
Okay, and I'll hang up, and I'll just listen to what you have to say.
Okay, we'll see what we can come up with here. But, okay. Frank was asking about looking at the issues that we have facing us in the election. And one of the things I try not to do is tell people who they should vote for, but... I hope this isn't taken the wrong way. I try to tell people how they should vote. Now, that's not the same thing. There's a difference between telling people who they should vote for versus how they should vote. What I mean by how they should vote is I tell people when you go in to mark your ballot, you should vote for the candidate that best represents your views, your beliefs, your values, things of that nature. And this is what I really firmly believe, that if you believe that abortion is a sin, and the Bible talks about killing the unborn children, and that's a sin. It's a sin of murder. There's a passage in the Old Testament that says that if a woman is injured in a fight, some people are fighting and a woman is injured, and her fruit departs from her, and mischief follows, meaning that the child dies, he is to be killed as a murderer. And so as a result, we have other things in the Bible, of course, the sanctity of life and things of that nature. And so if you firmly believe that abortion is a sin, then you would want to find the candidate that is going to take a stand against that, if at all possible. But we don't live in a mono-issue world. We have a variety of issues facing us, and abortion is one of them. Another issue, which certainly has leapt to the forefront here the past few months, is same-sex marriage. And I understand that President Obama came out for, endorsing same-sex marriage, which in the past he had been for it. And then 4 years ago he was against it. And now, of course, he's come out for it. And there's rumors that the Democrat Party is going to put same-sex marriage into the party platform as a plank in the platform in their convention here coming up in not too distant future. And so if you are for same-sex marriage, if you believe that men should be allowed to marry men and women should be allowed to marry women, then obviously you'd want to vote for the candidate that best represents that view. But if you believe that homosexuality is a sin, the Bible clearly condemns it, many parts. Romans chapter 1, first one comes to mind, very clear condemnation, calling it an abomination. And if we believe that it's a sin, then you would vote for the candidate who is going to oppose what you believe is a sinful behavior. And so those are decisions you need to make. We can follow other things, attacks on the family, the freedom of religion, a variety of things like that. I know what it sounds like. It sounds like I'm saying vote for the Republican, not the Democrat. And I've said it before, if you can find a pro-life Democrat candidate, if you can find a pro-life Democrat candidate who stands for the sanctity of marriage and traditional values, and then by all means, if you want to vote for him, I guess you could vote for him. And but the problem is, I really don't know too many of them out there. Most of the Democrats that were pro-life have been slowly pushed out of the party. If you'll notice, the Republicans will have pro-life and pro-abortion candidates or people addressing their convention and other things, but in the Democrat convention, you'll only find pro-abortion candidates speaking. And so you need to take the values that you find from the Bible, and you need to find the candidate that's best going to support those values. And regardless, really, of whether there's a D or an R after the name, we should, I guess you could say, look for a B for biblical. If they represent biblical values that you as a born-again Christian believe, then that's who you ought to try and support. That's who you ought to try and vote for. That's what I mean by telling you who you ought to vote for or how you should vote rather than who you should vote for. And, some people say, well, you shouldn't even say that. Well, Peter in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, said we ought to obey God rather than men. And my responsibility as a pastor is to give guidance to hopefully help people formulate what they're going to do. The right to vote that we have in this country is a tremendous privilege that's been fought and died for by many people down through the ages. And that privilege should not be taken lightly. I can remember 4 years ago, I had callers to this program saying, our church is pro-life. Our church is against the special rights for homosexuals. Our church is for traditional values and traditional family, but our pastor is telling us to vote for somebody who is contrary to those things. What should we do? I said, well, you ought to obey God rather than men, even if they are religious leaders. Vote for biblical values. Abortion is a sin, according to the Word of God. Homosexuality is a sin, according to the Word of God. And so same-sex marriage would be an abomination. You should vote for candidates that are not for abominations in the sight of God. Well, we've got another half hour coming up.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Welcome back to the second half of our program. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. And we'll be on here till midnight tonight, and you can give us a call toll-free at 888 And I'm getting hand signals here. I'm not sure what they're doing. They're doing pantomime at me and behind the glass there. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's see. What was I giving out? Those phone numbers there. All right. Not sure what's going on. That's what you do at late with live television. When you're late at night, they throw things at me. You know, I don't know what they're doing sometimes in there, but I have to be nice to the people behind the glass because, see, I got Derek and Lee back there, and they make me sound good, hopefully. So if I'm not nice to them, they'll do things to me back there, and I don't even know it. That's the hard thing. But at any rate, we're on till midnight tonight, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and we'd love to hear from you. Of course, Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, and you heard some of that information. You'll hear more at the end of the program. Certainly invite you to visit us there. But it's also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road in North Royalton, Ohio. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can contact Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. If you're looking for any unusual types of collectibles, whether it be old military items, old types of jewelry or coins or just about anything, you're liable to find it at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton, and let them know you heard about us right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, during the last half of the program, we were talking about there at the end, we were talking about what should shape the way you vote. And everybody has a worldview, even people who don't realize they have a worldview have a worldview. The worldview basically affects how you see the world. I mean, it makes sense, worldview. And you will view things around you. It's kind of like wearing glasses. If you put glasses on that have a rose tint to them, you'll see the world, as the saying goes, through rose-colored glasses. Or if you have a greenish tint, they'll be greenish. And that colors the way you see the world. And so it affects all of us to one degree or another. And I was interested in thinking about this, use this as a segue into the story that really did not get a whole lot of play this past week. The guy that came into the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., and attempted to shoot the place up. He got into it with the guard there, security guard. He got shot in the arm, and he wrestled the guy down to the ground, and basically he disarmed him. But the shooter came in to the Family Research Council and told the guard, "I don't like your politics," and he pulled a 9mm pistol out of his backpack and opened fire. And of course, it could have been much worse. He apparently was outraged about the recent Chick-fil-A thing. Remember that a couple weeks ago with the owner of Chick-fil-A, Dan Cathy, coming out in support of traditional marriage, and the fact that he's a committed Christian, and which is fine. That's his beliefs. And if he wasn't a committed Christian, that'd be fine. That's his right to have those beliefs as well. But a lot of people are upset about that. And the guy that shot the security guard at the Family Research Council also apparently had a note or something in his pocket indicating that he was going to also go to the Traditional Values Coalition office next. And he was upset about their politics, particularly their position against same-sex marriage and some other things. And just coincidentally, he also happened to work for or volunteer at a gay, lesbian, bisexual group in Washington, D.C., or a lobbyist group there in Washington, D.C. Now, the interesting thing with that, and the reason I brought that up, is most of the liberal media is saying, well, you know, we really don't know what motivated this guy to shoot. It wouldn't be prudent to speculate on it at this point. But I remember when Congresswoman Kathy Giffords was shot in Arizona, almost immediately, with no basis whatsoever, it was the Tea Party, it was conservatives, it was the right wing that caused that to happen. They kind of dropped that when they found out that the shooter was actually a fairly left-wing Democrat. So they kind of dropped that. And then, of course, when Hassan went in and shot up the soldiers, killed the soldiers in Fort Hood, the Army base, when he went in as a soldier and opened fire, shouting Allahu Akbar, and meanwhile carrying a business card that identified him as a soldier of Allah, and had talked before things about pro-jihad, and they, in that case, said, well, you know, we really don't know why he did it. We really can't speculate what his motivation was, and the thought that it might be religious, so that's just premature speculation, even though he's shouting Allahu Akbar as he's shooting up the place. And then they had the guy that tried to bomb Times Square, if you remember that, and they tried to say he was a disgruntled guy because of his bank failures and his home being foreclosed on, and rattled by the Tea Party and things like that. And again, the right wing must have been the reason for his rage, and until they found out that he actually was a jihadist as well. And just amazing things like that, like the guy that several years ago, this has probably been probably closer to 8-10 years ago now, I forget when exactly, tried to blow himself up in a football stadium at Oklahoma State University, I believe it was, and his suicide bomb prematurely went off in the parking lot, I think it was, or before he went into the stadium. And when they went into his room, it was filled with all kinds of pro-jihadi stuff, and he was had all kinds of stuff talking about being a suicide, you know, giving himself for Allah, and he went to a mosque that was pro-jihad and things of that nature. And they said, you know, we really don't know what motivated him. We don't have any speculation. You know, it's like, what part of Allahu Akbar don't you understand? That's what they say when they're doing it. You know, Allah is the greatest. And we see things like that. And it just seems that in some cases, there's a double standard. One case, they rush to blame it on conservatives, rush to blame it on Tea Party background, rush to blame it on these people, conservative Christians, whatever it might be. In other cases, they do everything they can to avoid it. And of course, need to look at these things. We need to try to understand why people do these things. And it's just like looking at the situation in Egypt right now. And we see the new president of Egypt, Morsi, who is fast consolidating control over all elements of the government in Egypt. And he's presenting himself very much as a moderate to the world. And the presentation that he seems to have is that he's trying to do his best to lead Egypt into a moderate form of government, and yet complaining that he can't be more forceful because the radical extreme fringe and jihadist fringe in Egypt won't let him do anymore. Well, you know, Morsi's a member of the radical jihadist fringe in Egypt. He's a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Muslim Brotherhood is a very jihadist organization that one of the things that they stand for is the destruction of Israel. And they are fast gaining total control over the country of Egypt. He's been purging the military. And if you recall, about a week or so ago, they had the incursion where a number of Egyptian troops, I think about 16 Egyptian troops, were killed by a Hamas jihadist group. And they stole some armored personnel carriers, and they tried to make their way into Israel, where they were going to carry out some significant terrorist attacks. And the Israelis had advanced notice of that, which, by the way, apparently they provided to Morsi's government in Egypt. And the Israelis acted on it. The Egyptians didn't. But as soon as the news broke of the Egyptian soldiers being killed, Morsi used that to begin purging some people out of the Egyptian military. And contrary to the Camp David Accords that have provided a peaceful coexistence since the late 1970s between Egypt and Israel, he is now moving tanks and significant troop movements into the Sinai Peninsula. And we need to watch these things, because the Bible talks about a day coming when there's going to be a major war in that part of the world, and we could see the foreshadowing of that. But at any rate, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. We have Chris in Cleveland, and Chris, are you there?
Hey, Pastor Al.
Hi, welcome.
Hi. Listen, I have sort of a silly question.
Mm-hmm.
That guy that went into the Family Research Center and shot the security guard.
Right.
You know, they keep saying on the news that he had like 16 Chick-fil-A sandwiches in his backpack.
Yes, he did.
Do you have any idea what that meant?
Well, you know, that's a good question. If he was so much against Chick-fil-A, he gave him some good business, I guess. But I don't know. Maybe he was going to leave Chick-fil-A sandwiches around where he shot people up. I mean, it's who knows what was going through the guy's mind. But we do know from what he yelled when he was in there, he was against their policies. He didn't like their policies. And and we also know, of course, that he was active, you know, volunteer there at the Washington, D.C. Center for Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transsexual Community. And he obviously had an axe to grind of sorts. And the media pretty much, you know, gave it just a very small amount. I think when it happened, ABC was the only network really that offered much of the story. They gave pretty much the full story when it happened. They led with the story. They gave it about 2.5 minutes, but that's a lot more than the others. Let's see here. NBC Nightly News gave it 17 seconds. The CBS Evening News gave it 20 seconds. They didn't want to spend much time on it, I guess, is what it was.
No, it doesn't seem that way, because they want to, you know, give a picture of what they want to be said in the media. So, of course, they're going to kind of ignore it.
Well, right. And if anybody believes that the media is unbiased, it's very much biased.
Yeah,
and I will not hide the fact that I prefer watching Fox when I get the chance, but I don't have cable or satellite television, so it's usually when I'm somewhere else.
Well, if you want to be lied to, just listen to the other,
yeah.
You know.
But what I like about Fox News, what I was going to say, is at least they're open about their position and their bias. And I wish the others would stop trying to pretend that they are balanced. You know, the problem is, and they've done surveys at various times, you know, surveyed the opinions of people in the media, in the main broadcast media, such as like ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, things like that. And generally, their views, their values are extreme left-wing values compared to the American public. The American public as a whole is center right, in that range. And except the problem is, a lot of people in the media are extreme left wing, and they think they fooled themselves into thinking that most of America shares the same positions. And one of the reasons for that is they only associate with people that have those positions. And I can remember, you know, back in the 70s, back in the 80s, even in the 90s before internet and all of that, to be a conservative in this country was not as easy as being a liberal in terms of, you know, your information that you got, where you learned things. because a liberal, all you had to do is, for instance, here in Northeast Ohio, if you were a liberal, you pick up the Cleveland Plain Dealer, you pick up the Akron Beacon Journal, you were getting the liberal take on the news. If you turned into ABC, CBS, NBC, you got the liberal take on the news. If you went out and got a Time Magazine, a Newsweek Magazine, a U.S. News and World Report, all the major news magazines, you got the liberal take on The View. You had to search to find a conservative news source. And so conservatives really were much more aware because they saw the liberal sources as well as the conservative sources, such as, I'm trying to think of that National Review and the editorial page on the Wall Street Journal, a few of those things. But liberals, you didn't have to do much to be a liberal. You didn't have to really know what conservatives really thought. You just anything you picked up or anything you turned on, it was generally going to be liberal. And that was about all it was. They just spoon-feed it to you. But to be a conservative, you really had to learn to pick through the news. It's a lot easier getting conservative alternative views on the news today with the prevalence of talk radio and the internet. And, of course, unfortunately, a lot of Christians that were on the radio, Christian stations back in that time frame, because of the fairness doctrine, which was anything but, they were afraid to say too much on some of the big issues of the day because they were afraid they would run afoul of the fairness doctrine. And thankfully, during the Reagan administration, they got rid of the fairness doctrine. Now you have freedom of speech on the radio. The fairness doctrine really was a chain that kept free speech from flourishing on the radio. And that's why a lot of talk radio flourished after the repeal of the fairness doctrine. And there's those that would like to bring the fairness doctrine back, because it would seriously hinder and restrict free speech on the radio. So I like free speech. It was the Baptists, of course, in the day that the Constitution that was written that lobbied for free speech and freedom of religion and the freedom to assembly, all those things that are in the Bill of Rights. That you've got that. Study out John Leland. You can Google him and see the influence that he had on Madison that got us the Bill of Rights in our Constitution. We need to be vigilant. We need to be doing what we can to see what's happening in the world. And as a pastor, I think it's my responsibility, too, to guide those people at our church and help bring people's attention to things that are happening that might be a threat to our freedom. And,
well, you know, Pastor, one thing that the black pastors that are speaking out against all this stuff that Barack Obama has said he's in favor of now, there are some people really, I thank God for some of these men of God that are really standing up and have the courage to speak out against this evil. And and what's troubling is that a lot of Christians, some Christians are in favor of what Barack Obama has said about, about homosexuality, sodomy, and that's what's unfortunate. Some Christians are actually drifting over to that liberal, mindset, and it's just really sad, but we know the Bible says that, there's the road to heaven is going to be narrow, and there's going to be a wide road to hell. So we know there's not going to be as many making it in,
And even Jesus said there would be a time where they would say, "Lord, Lord, haven't we done?" And they'd give various things, and he said, "Depart from me, for I never knew you."
Yeah.
And so we know that we live in a day when the Bible said that they would call good evil and evil good.
Yeah, that's what's
and,
happening.
And unfortunately, even people in the pulpits are doing that. And that's something we need to be on guard against.
Yeah,
and,
that's so sad. And, the Lord has told us what to expect.
Yeah, and he also told us how to deal with it. If you're in a church where, they're calling evil good and good evil, that, you know, come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, Paul wrote.
Yeah, because I'd rather be on God's side.
Exactly.
Than, you know,
exactly.
The wrong side. Well, thanks, Pastor.
Well, I appreciate that.
You.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling. And we're going to get one more call in here, I think, tonight on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Nancy in Euclid. And Nancy, are you there?
Well, thank you so much
for
taking my call. And I'm very interested in your previous subject about, you know, in the current political moral scene that evil is called good and good is called evil. But what I'm calling about is Revelation 20, when
right.
they're talking about Christ's millennial reign mm-hmm. for 1,000 years. I was listening to the previous show also, and they stated as fact that this 1,000 years was symbolic, not literal, but I was under the impression that it was literally 1,000 years. If you could...
All right.
On that,
right. And we just got about 3 minutes left, and let me just kind of hit that real quick. For whatever reason, there's a lot of people who just don't want to accept the book of Revelation for what it says. And mm-hmm. we were talking actually in church this morning about the seven thunders that are recorded back in Revelation chapter 10, I think it is, and how they were sealed, and using that as a reason to show that these things have not happened already, because otherwise somebody would tell us what those seven thunders were, and nobody's ever told us that, even though people try to tell us that things in Revelation have already happened. But in Revelation chapter 20, we see mention of this thousand-year reign repeatedly. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that the devil is bound for 1,000 years, and then in verse number 2, and then in verse number 3, he is set up, sealed, in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then in verse 4, we see that the people who lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5, we see the rest of the dead lived not till 1,000 years were finished. And we see this 1,000 years over. Verse 6 mentions the 1,000 years. Verse 7
yeah.
mentions the 1,000 years. It seems to me God's pretty definite on 1,000-year period there. And how people can say that's symbolic. God has a plan. And at the conclusion of the tribulation, Jesus is going to return, and he's going to destroy the Antichrist. The Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire, and the devil is bound and cast into the bottomless pit. He's there for 1,000 years. During that period of time, the Bible, you can read the last several chapters of Ezekiel, talk about this 1,000-year reign of Christ as well. Jesus is going to reign and rule over the earth from Jerusalem. And there's a whole structure that's set up in Ezekiel, and to say that's all symbolic is to just take away the last chapters of Ezekiel. Anybody that does that is being very loose with the scriptures, if not disingenuous. And that 1,000-year reign of Christ, at the end of that, the devil will be loosed from the bottomless pit, and then he'll go out and one more attempt to deceive the world, and one last rebellion against Christ, that will be the final battle, and then comes the great white throne judgment. If the 1,000 years in Revelation chapter 20 is symbolic, then heaven's symbolic, hell is symbolic, Jesus is symbolic, the cross is symbolic, everything's symbolic. If you cannot believe that the 1,000 years means exactly that, then you really can't believe anything is anything more than symbolism, which means you can make the Bible mean whatever you want it to be. And so I'd rather stick with God and his word rather than somebody's imaginations. We're out of time. Thanks for
Thank
six
you.
Years. And we
Thank
hope to be on
much.
Again for another six. Good night. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us.
The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.